You're listening to Radio DMG.
And welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Phil Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and today is October 1st, 2015. Yeah, I was supposed to have this out yesterday, but there were Amiibo restocks. Ladies and gentlemen, Toys R Us, Best Buy, GameStop, etc., etc., all restocking rare and unusual Amiibo. So, we actually got a few of these. So, there's a video up of an unboxing for Little Mac, and one that will be going up of Captain Falcon. And then hopefully next week, Animal Crossing Villager, and who knows what else. So, that's a thing, ladies and gentlemen. So, if you're following Area DMG, which you should be, if you're following Radio DMG, you should be following Area DMG. That's where a lot of video content goes. Go to Area DMG, that's AreaDMG.com, and you can check all that stuff out. Anywho, so that's been pretty much it. For today's episode, we have an interview that we did with Peggy O'Neill at NondesCon 2015. And we're just going to go ahead and get that out of the way for y'all. So sit back, listen closely, and let's go ahead and cue the music. And welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Phil Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. We're here at NondesCon 2015 with
Peggy O'Neill.
So, just in case our listeners are not familiar with who you are and what you do, who are you and what do you do?
Who am I? I'm a voice actor. The anime fans will recognize my voice in Digimon, in Shinzo, Ureka 7, Lucky Star, and on and on and on.
Oh, definitely. So, what else do you do besides voice acting?
I also teach at a college. I teach at Moorpark College. It's just outside Los Angeles. And I do ADR and television, which is also voice work, and video games as well.
What do you teach at the school?
I teach a voice and diction class. It blends traditional voice and diction theater training with voiceover training. So my students get to experience practicing radio interviews like what you do. And they also get to practice with commercials and anime copy and video game copy.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So how did you get into voice acting and ADR and all that?
I was so lucky. I was in Florida. I started out with stage work. I did some film and television work, those wonderful sci-fi 90s shows, Swamp Boy, Super Force, Superboy, Sequest, those things on camera. And one of the directors that I had worked with had an actress in a show that he'd cast because the producer liked her. She was a Playboy playmate. And she was lovely, but she had this very strange rhythm to her voice. She would talk a little like this, and she was supposed to be a CIA agent, and it didn't really quite work for the show. So he's like, what am I going to do? I have to replace this whole performance vocally, because she looked amazing. So the director who I'd worked with on camera thought, oh, I'm going to try Peggy. So they brought me into the studio, and it was my first time dubbing, doing ADR, and I replaced her performance vocally. So that was my first time. Then I did ADR on Thunder in Paradise and a couple of Florida shows, and then moved to LA and did ADR on Walker Texas Ranger and Dawson's Creek and all a bunch of shows.
Oh, including like Switch at Birth and Gilmore Girls.
Switch
and
at Birth is current. I did ADR on Gilmore Girls.
Current on Switch at Birth?
Currently, yeah. Oh. Currently working on that. I think the episode that I worked on just aired this past week. So I'm doing ADR work, which is just the vocal background work. So don't look for me on camera. I'm not there. Just listen in the background.
So the crowds and such.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, for like the improv sequence or whatnot. Because like somebody over here watches this show.
Yes. Well, for any kind of one-hour drama or a movie, all of the actors in the background that you see behind the principal actors, they're actually silent when they're shooting. So they're pantomiming as if they're in a restaurant eating and talking, But on set, they're actually not talking at all. So it's a very weird experience to be a background actor. And so they do that so they can get the dialogue really crisp and clear. They're either using a boom mic or a lavalier mic on the principals. So what we do is we come in as a group, maybe five men, four women, and kind of mix it up, and we improvise all the background sounds. Mm. So that's what we do.
Since you've worked in a variety of different states, like Florida and California.
I grew up in Florida. Yeah, so I grew up in Florida and worked there for many years, and it was the third market for film and television at the time. I was in my early 20s, so I was super lucky, got to do some film and TV, but then it kind of dried up. It went to Wilmington, North Carolina, and Vancouver, so it kind of moves around. You've got your standards, LA and New York filming, but then they go to the right-to-work states because it's less expensive to shoot there. So I worked there until that work kind of dried up, and I had a choice between New York and LA. I grew up in Florida. I'd only seen snow once in my life, so it was a no-brainer. So I moved to Los Angeles.
So what would you say the challenges are working in those different markets?
Oh gosh, they all have their own unique challenges. Los Angeles is a huge city. It's really difficult to find your niche. So again, I was lucky that many of the directors I'd worked with on shows in Florida were kind enough to bring me in on ADR in their shows once I moved to LA. So it's hard if you've not already made contacts to get started there, because you're like, oh my gosh, it's so huge. Where do I even begin? So a lot of people get overwhelmed with that. I think New York is just really challenging to shoot there. It's so hard and it's so expensive. Florida, there's just not a lot of work to go around. So you have to be flexible as an actor.
So they need more seasons of Days of Thunder.
Absolutely.
Thunder in Paradise. These Thunder's the racing one. Thunder in Paradise is the Hulk Hogan one.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Exactly. That was many moons ago.
I watched that on TV when it was coming out.
Really?
Yeah. Because like I saw the first movie. I'm surprised my parents let me see the first movie.
Wow.
And then like, watch the TV show because like boats and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, that's great.
It was fun to watch. It was fun stuff.
Kind of a shame they don't film a lot of stuff there. You'd think that stuff like Dexter would be filmed over there, right?
I think they shot some of the exteriors and things. Yeah. You know, the South Beach, Miami has such a great deco look. But I think the main body of the show was shot.
It's a back lot somewhere.
Yeah.
That happens.
Well, it's hard. You don't have all the support system. You don't have post-production sound. You know, it's getting better, but it's hard to shoot on location. It's really hard.
What would you say the challenges are for, like, teaching this at the college that you work at?
Gosh, I don't know that we have that many challenges. You know, colleges are, you know, facing budget crises, so our equipment's outdated.
Oh no.
But we do the best we can, you know, with what we have to give them as close to a professional experience as possible so that when they go out into the world and they try to get into the industry, they at least feel comfortable. So we do have a TV studio. We're getting better. We're getting some more modern cameras and things for the students to work with. For a long time, we were shooting a three-camera setup, which is very rarely used anymore. You know, some of the game shows, reality shows, live shows, soap operas, that kind of thing. But not much is shot that way anymore.
And now it's all roving cameras and multiple things, because nowadays you can go and get like a GoPro for $200 and get...
Digital revolutionized the industry.
Absolutely. Completely democratized the ability for us to get the tools.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of wonderful.
Yeah.
Because now everyone can make content.
And it looks fantastic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh.
So maybe in 10 years, you can work in any of these major cities. You can come to Denver and shoot a series, and you guys will all have an opportunity to work on it. Mm-hmm. That would be great.
So, speaking of Denver, what do you think of the town and non-Descon in general?
Are you kidding? It's amazing. This everybody kept telling me before I came. It's my very first con, by the way, not just first NDK. It's my first convention as a guest, and everybody said, "Oh my gosh, you are so lucky. You were so lucky that this is your first one. They're going to spoil you rotten," and they have. The staff is amazing. The city's amazing. The guests are amazing. They're so wonderful and polite and kind, and just it's been amazing. It's been amazing, like 15 times.
Have you gotten to see the whole Taste of Colorado thing yet?
I haven't done that yet. I've been too busy doing things, but people have told me about it. We did get to go see the Brown Palace, which is exquisite. It was just gorgeous. I wanted to stay and just stare at the ceiling in the lobby with the glass. It was gorgeous. So
What do you think of the conventions in general so far? Since this is your first anime convention, what surprises you the most about it?
I think what surprises me is I've been to San Diego Comic-Con as a guest, and I sometimes take my students. That's a treat I reserve for my interns. And it's huge, and it's so crowded that it's very difficult to enjoy the experience. But here, you know, I know there's some lines for waits that I've seen, but in general, it's just so much more chill, so much more relaxed. You get to actually talk to people, and it's been a really great experience.
It's kind of like that, a really kind of homey, but also like electric energy,
yes,
to it, right?
Yeah. Yes,
it's
and
like
very...
It's less, I guess you could say that despite being more crowded, Comic-Con type stuff is a little bit more sterile in that people mm-hmm. don't, it's just like bam, 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 that type of thing.
And there's
whereas
a division.
More, you can feel more of the energy from the crowd.
Exactly. And there's a division between the people up on the stand and mm-hmm. the guests, and you guys are what make it happen, so yeah. We get to actually interact.
Which is a good thing.
Yes.
One thing I've noticed at these conventions, though, you'll see a lot of this electricity, this on-fire energy, right? During the convention, but when people, the day after the convention, when people go back to the, I guess you could say, daily grind of work or school or dealing with other people and stuff, they seem to just completely lose that spark, and it's so tragic.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for how people may be able to take that convention energy, all that electric convention energy, and apply that to their everyday lives and dealing with other people or any other pressures with work or bullies or any of that type of stuff? How may they take that energy out?
How could they take it out? First, I think you've got to pace yourself, because sometimes people get so burned out by the end of it that they don't have anything left over. And just as you go out into the world, think about your favorite anime, because the anime just teaches so much about relating to people, and realize that the person who might be bullying you is possibly suffering, and that that's their way of dealing with the world, and be able to kind of let go of it and say, gosh, I feel really bad. I wish that that person could live a different life, because I wouldn't want to live in their head. How to keep the energy, just keep all the stuff that you get, all the signatures, all the posters, and just have it as a reminder, as like a little touchstone to go back to, and remind yourself that this culture, this group of people are there. If you find your peeps, hang on tight and make sure that you socialize with them and keep that connection going. And I think that'll carry you through to the next year.
Hmm. And speaking of carry on to the next year, is there anything that you're working on currently that you can talk about that you'd like to promote?
I can't. The last video game I did, they made it a sign-on, a non-disclosure. I'm sorry. Oh, no. I wish I could.
But anything that's currently out that you'd like to promote?
Oh, gosh. What favorite things? Pillars of Eternity is a great game. Can't talk about that one. Nothing I can really talk about.
Oh, no.
Just, you know, support the industry and keep it going.
Any Switch Shepherd spoilers? No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, you know, we took a little hiatus, so you're actually caught up to where we were in post.
Oh.
So I don't have anything right now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great show.
That's Sarah likes it.
Yeah.
I liked the first couple seasons of that, and then they got kind of a little, I was like, oh, I'm not sure I like this
character. It's gone off the deep.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Some stuff.
Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
Well, Grey's Anatomy, the soundtrack's amazing.
It keeps you watching just for that,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. Well, I think everybody has fractured families anymore. Mm. So I think anything that takes a look at how do you deal with reconstructing a family from fragments and pieces that people bring into their new group, I think it's a really wonderful thing to explore.
Yeah, especially since, I mean, the whole idea of the nuclear family,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't really exist anymore. Nowadays, it's family is, there's family of birth, family of choice, that
yes.
type of thing.
We've come a long way from, since Leave It to Beaver.
Definitely.
Definitely a long way.
Oh, definitely. Well, thank you so much for
thank
the interview.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. This has been Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. I'm here at NonDescon 2015 with
Peggy O'Neill.
And thank you for listening. Good night, and you are now caught up.
And that was our interview that we did with Peggy O'Neill. from NondeskCon 2015. We still have a lot more stuff to cover. First, an apology for not getting this out on Wednesday. Like I said, there was the restocks, but other than that, for the last 2 weeks or so, there has been a ridiculous amount of construction right outside the house. Just terrible. And that has been a bit of an issue. Just a little bit of an issue. And that prevents me from recording during the day. And yeah. Even now, sometimes we get a little bit of stuff where people are just doing other things outside. And it's noisy. Just incredibly noisy. And, well, that would be pretty much it. But thank you for listening today. If you like our show, go ahead and keep listening to it. I think we're on iTunes. You can probably rate us on there. And check out dmgice.com. Check out our Facebook. Check out our Twitter. Check out all of that awesome, awesome content. And I'll see you next week. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and you are now caught up.
Talking levels.
So we're talking about levels, because levels are important, and you know, we should talk about levels and keep talking.
Normalization.
Yeah.